You are listening to Pastor Damon Moore, brought to you by City Place Church in Orlando, Florida. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com. Now, here's this week's message from Pastor Damon Moore.
Last week, we kicked off a sermon series called In Jesus' Name. I was scheduled to preach last week, but Taisha in the first part of the week, she goes, "I got something." And I was like, "Girl, you better go ahead and rock that thing." So we swapped weeks. She was going to preach this week, but she preached last week. And to me, I told her this week, I said, "Babe, you made it easy for what God put in me to just springboard off of that." And so we're in 21 days of prayer. And if this is your first time here, my name is Damon Moore. My wife and I, we are the lead pastors. Her name is Taisha of City Place Church. We're 2 years old. And we just believe that God has given us a great vision for our city. And I can tell you that you're needed. We believe that we can build your dreams, ignite your faith, and establish you to be the leader that God's called you to so that we can win more lost people for the kingdom. Our sole purpose is to fill heaven and to make the enemy mad. And so we will never, never, never apologize for passion in our worship. Because I can tell you right now, come September, the first week in September, I'm going to be crazy for the Redskins. That's a football team. I'm going to be excited. I'm going to be yelling at the screen. I'm going to be mad at the coaches. And they're going to get a level of passion that no other sport gets from me. But that should never outweigh the same passion that I give Jesus. Amen. And so make sure that when we come into God's house that we don't turn into a country club. I love me some golf and all that sort of stuff, and I can put my pinky up with everybody. But when I come into God's house, I'm going to be just as radical outside as I should be on the inside. And so this morning, I'm going to preach passionately, but I want to give you some context because I'm going to teach us today, which means I don't want to preach you happy. But I want to teach us today because as we go through 21 days of prayer, and here's what normally happens. Okay, here's what normally happens. A few will be locked in and they'll be able to testify. And the remaining will say, "Nothing happened for me." And the reason is because we will just wait for the weekend versus praying throughout the week. The other thing is that prayer can be frightening sometimes. When you hear the word prayer, you think, "Oh my gosh, how long?" I don't know if you feel like that, but that's how I felt in the past. It's like, "Oh, here we go. It's going to take a long time." In all actuality, it's the perspective that we have when it regards to prayer, because we value it less because we view it from a religious lens. It's something I have to do because I said yes to Jesus. Absolutely. No. It's something that you get to do because you now have direct access to Jesus. And the only way you'll know who he is and the only way you'll know what he has to say to you is if you talk to him. Otherwise, we'll sit on the sidelines wondering if he's going to ever do anything. And he's trying to do something, but we don't talk to him. And so today, I am going to preach you happy, yes, but I'm going to give you a lot of stuff to dive into this week because we just believe that God's going to do something in your life in 21 days. Are you with me? Now, here's what's really cool. Last week, we started, we found a little app on YouVersion. And I don't know if you downloaded it, but YouVersion has an app that's a Bible app. And we were able to put all of our notes from last week and this week on the app. And so if you have that Bible app, you can actually look up cityplacechurch.com and follow along in service today with what we're preaching on. There's one in English and there's one in Spanish. And it'll just say, "In Jesus' name, my name and the date." And so we're trying to work on some things to just make service a little bit easier. We're working out the kinks. We've been praying and asking God for 5 things this year. We felt like God has called our church to be exponential. In the beginning of the year, that was our 21 days of prayer and fasting, folks, that God has called our church to be exponential this year. We wanted to see God grow our character that's worthy of growth, and then begin to line us up so that we can have skilled laborers for his harvest, Matthew chapter 9, 38, all the way through the first part of verse chapter 10. We ask God to give us exponential stewardship, kingdom finances to make an impact in his kingdom. We ask God to increase our dream team, which is what most people call volunteers. We don't call them volunteers. We call them dream team because we want to pour into them and develop more leaders. We ask God for that. We ask God to give us scalable systems that go beyond our first campus because we feel like God has called us to plant more churches. And then the final thing we asked God for was exponential evangelism and influence in our community. And I got something to tell you. Y'all want to hear some good news, something to celebrate? UCF and Valencia have entered into a partnership by which they are building a downtown campus in Orlando. And they put together this council to make sure that the residents of Paramore aren't swept out as hundreds and hundreds of million dollars are being poured into the city. Like, so they are literally building soccer stadiams and renovating Camping World and putting a school downtown and renovating Jones High School and building high rise for the students and main buildings that they're literally moving people from the UCF campus downtown. Well, last year, I made a connection at UCF and we served at the beginning of the year for Martin Luther King Jr. Day of Service downtown. And the lady said, hey, it would be cool if we stay connected. Well, just about a month ago, I got an email from the young lady that is the bridge between UCF, Valencia, and the Paramore community. She said, Damon, I was wondering if you would be willing to sit on our 25-person council that would help shape what happens in this community during this building process. And so I am here to tell you, and for us to celebrate, that we asked God for exponential evangelism and exponential influence, and God has given our 2-year young church a seat at the table to have a say in what's going to happen with hundreds and millions of dollars and the citizens of a community. So can we give Jesus Christ some praise for City Place Church getting a seat at the table? We declared it at the beginning of the year, and God's already beginning to open up some doors. And there's other things that I'm going to tell you, but I just had to spread them out over the week so that we can celebrate every week. Otherwise, it was all in one. And so God is doing things in our church. And so if you've been going through next steps or if you've been wondering if I can jump in and if there's something that I can see God do in my heart, yes. There's a place for you. There's people are asking me to sit at the table. But as I was sitting in the room, I was like, I need all of us to be around this table. Because in this room were doctors, city officials, and City Place Church. And when I stood up and I said who I was, they were like, ooh, because I was only one of two pastors sitting in the room. And so God is up to something. And so I just wanted to let you know that God is doing something here at City Place Church. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. As I said last week, Taisha laid the foundation for this week. If you get a chance, you can check out the podcast, City Place Church audio podcast on iTunes, which is really cool because we have broken 3,500 downloads. Isn't that cool? 3,500 downloads. I'm going to praise God for every download so that when we hit the million download, we're going to have already praised him all the way through. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says this. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed. This is Jesus. He departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon, one of his disciples, and those who were with him, searched for him, and they found Jesus and said unto him, everybody's been looking for you. Early in the morning, Jesus says, let me leave these guys here. I'm going to go to a secret place, and I'm going to pray. The guys who are with him say, hey, Jesus, everybody's been looking for you. All right, I'm going to say it one more time, and then I'm going to tie it all together. Early in the morning, Jesus leaves everyone behind. He goes to a secret place where it's just him, and he prays. And someone from his team comes and says, Jesus, everyone been looking for you. Keep that thought. Now go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11 says this. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to God the Father. He's given us a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, everything under heaven and under earth has got to bow, so that whosoever will confess Jesus is Lord, it's for the glory of God. So Jesus is praying back in Mark, goes over to an isolated place by himself. Someone comes and says, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. This morning, I want to just focus on the rhythm of prayer. The rhythm of prayer. Philippians says, hey, let this mind be in you that's also in Christ, who, although he was equal to God, came with no reputation in human likeness. He flowed with God so much that where he died on the cross, he was elevated, seated at the right hand of God the Father. But we've been given a name that's above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, everything under heaven and under earth has got to bow. Jesus, in Mark, sets aside a time early in the morning. He sits it aside, goes to a secret place, prays by himself. His friends walk over and say, Jesus, everyone is trying to find you. There is a rhythm to prayer, but in order to find the rhythm of prayer, we have to think the way Jesus did. Okay? The Bible says in Philippians, I'm going to tie it together, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. Him being just like God brought himself low. God exalted him, seated, but then we have a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, everything has to bow. Jesus goes to an isolated place, begins to pray. People walk over. Jesus, everyone's been looking for you. The mind of Christ, let's talk there. There is a rhythm to prayer that Jesus shows us. There's a rhythm to prayer that Jesus shows us, and I want to change our mind on how we view prayer. Let this thought process shift your thinking moving forward. Jesus did the same thing. I'm now rephrasing Philippians. Jesus did the same thing that you might go through. He was flesh. He was human. Jesus prayed, Mark chapter 1. Let this mind be in you. Shift on how we would view prayer to finding the rhythm of prayer. Mark chapter 1, back to that. Jesus sets aside time early in the morning, goes to a secret place, prays. Everyone else comes after he has prayed. Here's the first thing that Jesus says or models for us in Mark chapter 1, is that you must have a certain time when you pray. There must be a certain time. Jesus says, hey, let me just sneak away here so that I can have my certain time. I'm going to get up early in the morning. I know it's dark. I know everyone is sleeping. I know we've just prayed for people the night before. I know I just preached to them the night before. But early in the morning, I'm going to get up because this is my time with God. So there's a rhythm to prayer, but it all starts with a certain time. You and I have to decide the time that's going to be your time with God. It has to become priority. It removes the religious side, because what should I? Should I do it when Pastor Damon says it? Should I do it when the podcast is on? It's a certain time that you will value with Jesus. Can I get a little bit of backlight? Because I want to be able to see everybody, if you don't mind. It's a little dark in here. So Jesus goes out early in the morning, and he has a certain time. It's early in the morning. And then he said, the Bible says in Mark chapter 1, that Jesus left his friends, and he went to a certain place. His certain place was removing himself from distraction. Because at the end of the text, everyone was still looking for him. Jesus, everyone's been looking for you. Do you ever wake up in the morning and feel like your problems waited outside of your room? You know how it is. I need some sleep. I've been trying to deal with this. Someone called me late last night. I answered the phone. I got to deal with this problem. I wake back up and it's still like, you here? You got some sleep? You ready to get started? And so early in the morning, we wake up and it's like, oh, I got to go. I got to get the kids ready. I got to do this. I got to move. I got to go. I'm running late. I got to go. Let me get some food. I got to go. Meanwhile, we're just going through the routine. And we're not dictating anything. We're being dictated to. And so I'm running late on the time. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm in the car. I'm going to have my quiet time with Jesus in the car. Jesus, I love you. But I got to stop because I got to get gas. Jesus says, I know I just dealt with this last night. I just prayed for some people. I'm doing miracles now. Let me sneak away from everybody while y'all are sleeping. Here's the cool thing that I love about the Bible. It doesn't say how long Jesus prayed. It doesn't say that he was there for 6 hours. And it doesn't say if he was there for 15 minutes. But what it does say was that he placed the priority on his time and his place with God. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ. Change your thinking about how prayer is, because Jesus had to pray just like you. It's just that he said, God, we're going to be creative with this thing. I'm sneaking out. I'll meet you, God, in the morning. These jokers sleep hard. When Peter rolls over, I'm dipping out. So he sneaks out. Can y'all see Jesus with his sandals and his white robe? I don't know. I think Jesus wore jeans. Seriously, I feel like Jesus wore jeans. But look, he walked out. And he's like, God, I think we're far enough from the noise. I'm far enough from the distractions. I'm far enough to where when my problems try to find me, they have to look hard.
Hey, everyone's looking for you.
I know, because this is my time and this is my place. It wasn't meant for you to know. My wife, she wakes up earlier than I do. She loves Jesus more than me. She meets Jesus when Jesus is about to wake up. Although the Bible says he doesn't sleep nor slumber. I'm just playing on the text. And so she wakes up and she's like, good morning, Lord. I wake up, I'm like, Jesus, I'm running late this morning. She wakes up. She's got this atmosphere set. But here's what happens. For the last 4 years, true story, at about 6:58, hey, Mom, what you doing? I'm not going to ask you, Vanky. Come in, Mom. I'm just coming. That's my son, Noah. True story, 4 years in a row, every morning. And if I was up, I would be able to catch him. But I'm allowing Jesus to meet me in my sleep. So every morning, she's interrupted, not by a problem, by someone that loves her. But every time I see her in the morning, she's looking at me like, if I could just have a little bit more time with God. And that's something she loves. So Jesus said, I'm going to sneak away. And I'm going to find a certain time and a certain place that's just for you and just for me. Can I challenge you this morning to think about prayer totally differently? I like to walk. And my wife, I'd be like, babe, I'm going out for a walk. And it'll be me and Jesus just walking around the neighborhood. So much so that my neighbors will stop me, true story, and ask me, do you live in this neighborhood? And I'm like, fool, back up. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But I love walking so much, and that's my thing with Jesus. I don't want no one to interrupt it. I don't want no phone calls. I don't care if you got an emergency. I don't pick it up. Because when I walk around my neighborhood, I know it's about 30 to 45 minutes of walk time. And that's my thing. It's also the only exercise I do, Pastor Jerry. So look, I'm walking. And all sorts of things can happen in that moment. If I'm tired, I can just listen. But when I'm fired up, it's me and him, we go on the task. This week, I had your prayer request, and I started off real lazy. Lord, just bless them for that. And out of nowhere, I felt this kick in the butt like, yo, you ain't out here for you. This just ain't your time of walking. This is our time. Get with it. That happens when you're in a certain time and a certain place. Don't have any distractions. He can tell me everything I need to know when the noise is gone. So I did this thing and I said, I wonder if that was the only time Jesus did that. Because maybe that was just something that happened. This is not up there, but write this down. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Y'all all right? Look at this. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. It says, this is Jesus about to walk on the water. He's already performed a miracle. And it says this. It says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get in the boat. Watch this now. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get in the boat. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. I love scripture. Jesus is ministering to all these people. He says, all right, disciples, you can go. I'll handle the people. Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. Y'all can go home. I'm done with the meeting. I've let the dream team go. Y'all go. I got this. Now watch, look at verse 23. It says, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. When evening had come, he was there alone. Jesus said, now I'm going to pray in the morning. This next day, oh, it's moving fast. I'm still working late. Wait a second. Hey, guys, you know what? I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to close the meeting down a little early today. I've enjoyed our time together. I really have. 5,000, go home. Disciples, get on the boat. I'm going to meet you over in the next town. Jesus could have got on the boat and done the next thing, but he said, y'all go ahead. There's a little mountain over here that I'm going to go to by myself. And I'm going to pray there. So it don't matter if I work. If I work the 4 p.m. shift to the 3 a.m. shift, you know what? Before I go lay my head down and I go through that door, let me pull over to the side of the road. Let me go in the Starbucks and have just a few minutes with you. A certain time and a certain place. Let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ, who did the same sort of things that you did, which involved prayer. I'm trying to shift our mind to find the rhythm of prayer. See, when we shift our mind and realize it's not a religious activity. Taisha said it last week, it shouldn't be our last resort. It should be our first response. See, if I'm in a relationship with Jesus, I'm talking to him. I'm not bringing a request. Prayer does answer your request, but it's not the priority of prayer. It's a benefit of relationship. So I have to change my thinking about 21 days of prayer to realize that I'm not in some sort of religious routine. I don't have to. I get to spend time with him. So Jesus said, hey, sneak over here, certain place, certain time. And it says that Jesus went to the mountain and there he prayed, but I couldn't stop there. I wanted to see, because now I'm a little curious, I wanted to see if Jesus made this a habit. If you will, go with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And let's look at verse 36. Verse 36, this is Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he's about to be crucified. It says this in verse 36 of Matthew 26, it says, then Jesus went up with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he says to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Hey, y'all are coming with me? You come on, we're going to go to the garden. But hey, y'all sit here while I'll go over there and I will pray. Even if I'm in the middle of a crowd. if I can just find just a few moments to spend some time with him, God can speak to me right there. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I'll be in the middle of chaos. Maybe something, you know, ministry, something on the weekend, and everything will seem like, God, it's not just coming together. People may not know, but I'll go find me a little corner. I'll just say, all right, Holy Spirit, I just thank you. I need you to shift this morning. I need you to handle this atmosphere this morning. Because all I need is just, I just need just a certain time and a certain place, even when people are around. So when you're on your job, when you get the call that begins to shake your emotions, when you're on the way to the doctor's office, or no matter what it is, you get the notice that you didn't want. Okay, hold up. It's not my last resort. It's my first response. Bathroom. Father, I just thank you. This is my time with you. What do you have to say about this? You're a God all by yourself. Something is going. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do, but speak now. I've got this amount of time before they knock on my door. I've got to be back to my desk in 5 minutes now. Certain time, certain place, even on the run. So what I'm trying to show you is it can be in the morning. It can be at night. It can be in the middle of people being around you, but you just need a certain time and a certain place. Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Whatever it takes, I need to spend time with God. Now, here's the final one. Watch. Jesus says, certain time, certain place, Mark. But here's what was really amazing, and it didn't say it in Mark chapter 1, 35 and 36. It's like an unspoken. Is Jesus had a certain plan. His plan was, first and foremost, I'm going to have a certain time and I'm going to have a certain place. That is the beginning of my plan. I'm going to have a certain time and a certain place. And I'm not going to allow anybody or anything to distract me. This is my time, my place with God. That's the first part of my plan, is that my time and my place will not be disturbed. When you give God your time and your place, take your phone, turn it off, tell your kids, tell your boss, tell whomever, during this time, I'm unavailable. Make it unspoken. I'm not picking up the phone. The enemy will do whatever he can to distract you. He will have Noah wake up for 4 years in a row. Now, I'm making light of that. But what I'm saying is that the enemy will do whatever he can to distract you from your certain time and your certain place. And that is not fair to you, and is not fair to the Father in heaven that looks forward to his time with you. So over these next 21 days, don't cheat him. Don't cheat God and fit him in. Prayer's not that. What's so amazing is that God doesn't give us how many times to pray like other religions do. Do you know what he says? Men aren't always to pray. It should be a part of your lifestyle, talking to me. You should look forward to talking to me. How else will you know what I'm saying if you don't spend time with me? We got to change our mindset. Jesus Christ himself could have put it in cruise control. Philippians says that he was God himself, but chose to be of one with no reputation. He chose to say, just call me Jesus. You know what? I'm just going to be a servant. I'm just going to come here. I'm going to look like everybody else. The Bible says that we wouldn't even recognize him if we saw him. That's the reason why in biblical days, the Pharisees and the Sadducees kept ignoring him. Ah, yeah. Tell us something else. Whatever. You don't look the part. Next. If we shift our mindset, and we realize that he's given us prayer because we have access, our relationship with Jesus will become so enjoyable. So he gave us a certain time, a certain place. And he's like, I'm going out now in the morning. I'm sneaking away. A certain plan. But here's the cool part. The disciples asked Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Jesus, we're trying to learn. Jesus says, okay, all right. You want to learn? I'm going to let you behind the curtain of my routine. I'm going to let you, when I leave you on the outside, I don't allow you to pray with me. I don't allow you in my moments when I'm just talking to God. Jesus says this. He says, you know what? You want to learn how to pray? I'm going to teach you how to pray. He says, now, certain time, certain place, you need a plan. So I'm going to give you what happens when I spend time with God. Are you with me so far? He says, I'm going to let you behind the curtain. When you're seeing the miracles happen, when you're seeing the signs and wonders happen, I'm going to tell you what happens behind the scenes. Go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to wrap up. Matthew chapter 6. Y'all getting anything? Matthew chapter 6. He says this in verse 5. He says, now, boys, I love Bible stories, by the way, so I'm always paraphrasing. He says, boys, when you pray, don't pray like the hypocrites do. You know how they are. They stand and they pray in church. They on the street corner with a sign. They always condemning everybody. It's not saying that, but that's how I read it if Jesus was writing this for today. They always using my name with no power. They just want to be seen. But I say to you, that's their reward. They got a little glimpse. They got a little glimpse. Everyone's applauding them. Oh, yeah, they must be real spiritual. But he says this. He says, now, but you, when you pray, go into your room. Say what, Jesus? Find a certain place. Jesus is a bad dude, y'all. When you go into your room, I love it. Find a place. I said that earlier. You need a certain place. I love the scriptures when they tie together. And then he says, now listen, when you go into that room, shut the door. Shut the door, Taisha. Lock it. Shut the door when you pray. It's your moment now. It's your time. When you close that door, it begins. My time has begun with you. It says, when you go into the room, shut the door. And when you shut the door, pray to your dad who is in secret. Do we have that? Do we have that scripture verse? Because I want everyone to be able to see it. He says, when you go into the secret place, the room that's set for you, the time that's set for you, he says, now talk to your dad. Let this mind be in you that's also in me. I don't talk to God when I pray. I talk to my dad. You want to know where the power comes from? Is I remove the fact that he's God and I call him dad. Jesus says, when you find that certain place, that certain time, you want to know the plan? It's not a religious routine for me. I'm talking to dad. So he says, when you go and you talk to your dad, yo, dad, let's hang out. Do you know why Noah knocks on the door? Noah knocks on the door because he loves spending time with his mom. And he's willing to interrupt his mom because he values the time that they spend together. Even in her quiet time with God, she allows him to interrupt her because she values the time that she spends with him. It's the same way. You might feel like, oh, will he answer me? I've done so many things wrong. Hey, mom. Good morning. Hey, mom. Come on in, son. Come on. I got time for you. Come on in. I got you. You can knock on his door every single day. So Jesus says, when you go into your secret place, close the door behind you because you're going to pray to him there. And he says, and your Father who sees the secret place will reward you. So everything that you do to sneak away time, I don't want no one to know. This is my time with God. This is my place with God. He says, I enjoy that place. Because it's when no one is looking. It's the time that you set for me. It's the place that you set for me. I'm pouring out rewards for you. I'm pouring out answered prayer. I'm pouring out things that's going to empower you. Change your mindset. It's not a religious routine. You hanging out with dad. Jesus says, hey, the first part of this plan is you got to connect with him relationally. You got to connect with God, your Father. You got to connect with the one who is spending time with you. Write that one down. Connect relationally. Write this one down. Connect with him relationally. That's the first thing. Connect relationally. He says when you go into the secret place, it's your dad. It's your dad. Here's what I realized, and I was thinking about this when I was thinking about prayer, is I have a tendency to expect giant imprints, but I take ant-sized steps. I don't know if y'all, you want major response, but I give little effort. Anybody ever been like that? I want miracles, but I just give him a little bit. And I realize that Jesus is like, certain place, certain time. You got to have a plan. Talk to your dad because he'll change your perspective. So the first thing is that we need to connect with him relationally. The second thing is that we need to declare his name. If you continue on through Matthew chapter 6, Jesus begins to give them the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. That is Jesus' roadmap. That is Jesus' plan. That is what I'm breaking down for you this morning. Number one, connect with God relationally. He's dad. Our Father, dad. The second one is that we declare his name. He is to you who you make him to be. He is to you who you have come to know him to be. He is to you who you will allow him to be. Right now, he is someone to you. The question that I have for you is, who is he? Is he the angry one that never answers your prayers? If so, I would argue and say, we may be taking ant-sized steps, wanting giant imprints, not having a plan, a place, or a time for him. We just want the results of him. So who is he to you? Jesus called him dad. Hey, dad. But the Bible also says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him in Hebrews. So if I spend time with him, he'll meet me. Also says that he's a healer in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says that by his stripes you have been healed. So he's a healer. He's also a provider. The Bible says that when Abraham took his son Isaac, it says that don't worry, we'll come back. The Lord will provide. It says when they got up to the top of the mountain that there was already a ram. And he says that this place shall be called the place that the Lord provides. So he's a provider for you. You got clothes on your back, he provided. I know you might be lacking in another area, but thank God you got clothes on, he's provided. I'm sure that some of us, we may not have eaten a five-course meal, but we did eat something last night. He provided your meal. So he is a provider for you, but we may not see him as such because we're focused on what he hasn't done. Reason why? Because we want giant imprints, but we're only giving him ant-sized steps. So Jesus said, you need a certain place, a certain time, and a certain plan. So Jesus says, you have to declare his name. Then he says, so hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. You have to read Matthew chapter 6. Your kingdom come. He says, before I get to what I want, I need to pray what he wants. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, you have some things designed for me today that I can't miss out on. Some of the things that we have need of or ask God for, he's like, I'm going to pour them out to you today. But you never ask me what I have for you. You never ask me what's important to me today. Jesus says, why don't you ask him? Say, what are you thinking about today that's going to be experienced here on earth that you want to release from heaven? Give it to me today. Here's Jesus's priority. He wants lost people saved. It's his main priority. He wants heaven filled. He doesn't want the enemy to have any sort of a foothold over you. So when you go into prayer, yes, we have our own list. But the list of your neighbor can become your priority. Praying for our nation can become our priority. Praying for our city can become our priority. These are the things that Jesus is talking about. And then he says, so after I declare your will be done on heaven as it is on earth, and then he says, give us this day our daily bread. This is when you can bring your request like crazy. Lord, I thank you for healing in my body, strengthening my bones, increase on my job, mending my family back together. I thank you for opening doors. I thank you for favor. I think because you've already spent time relationally with your dad. You've already worshiped and declared his name. You are great. You have like built him up so much to where he's like, yes, I can. Yes, I will. Yes, I am. You pray his priority. He's like, let's go to task. I'm so glad that you're thinking about me today and not just focused on you. Then finally he says, let's slow this thing down. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? So then you can pray your request. Then after that, Lord, will you make sure that when I walk out these things that you have for me, that I don't mishandle them? Deal with my heart. If I've got anything towards somebody, please deal with that. If I'm holding on something, please deal with that. If I've hurt somebody, please deal with that. Don't let that just stay here. Please deal with that. See, there's a rhythm in the mindset to prayer. When Jesus was praying and he got to this place, he was like, Lord, I just thank you. They don't know what they're doing. I know they're avoiding you, but you forgive them. Give me more opportunity to pray for people. Give me more opportunity to see miracles in your name. Give me more opportunities to speak life. Give me more opportunities to change the mindset of people who don't believe that I'm the one. This is Jesus when he got to this moment in prayer. His desire was for somebody else. That's just Jesus. And then finally he says, now when I'm done praying for everybody else, I set myself right with God. He says, I'm going to give all the glory back to you. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. Everything that I prayed for, every desire, every answered prayer, it's going to bounce right back to you. It's going to bounce right back to you because you're going to receive the glory at the end of the day. Mark chapter 1, let's end there. Worship team, you can come up. Jesus sneaks away from his boys. Certain time, certain place. Pull in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is praying. He says, Father, I love you so much. You're so great. Thank you for allowing me to be born on earth. Thank you for choosing me to redeem the world back to you. He says, Dad, I just want to declare how great your name is. I just want to declare how amazing you were from the time the world began. I just want to declare that you're amazing. Father, today as I step out and I'm getting ready to minister on your behalf, where do I need to go? Who do I need to impact? Whose lives are going to be changed? Father, there's two blind men on the side of the road. I'm excited about what you have for me today. Make sure I'm not delayed. Please don't let them stop their call before I can get their attention. Lord, I thank you for this day. Father, my request is that when I pray for people, that miracles, signs, and wonders happen. God, you're going to receive the glory. You're going to receive the honor. Father, I just thank you for continually using me as your son to draw people back to yourself. Father, I just declare that all glory is going to go back to you. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for this hurting area. Lord God, I thank you that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they don't believe in me. They don't believe in you. But God, if I can just begin to shift the mindset of a few, I thank you, Lord God. Forgive them for their sins. Forgive them for what they're going to do when they crucify me. Forgive them, Lord God. I'm so sorry. Father, I just thank you that as I get set to go out and my boys are waiting, I can hear them coming towards me, Lord God, and the distractions are about to begin. I just declare that before I go out today, that every person that's going to be healed, every person that's going to come into relationship with you because they're going to believe in me, I just give you back all the glory. I give you back all the honor. I give you back all the praise because it's for you that I came. It's for you that I came, but they get to reap the benefit. So Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who was like God himself and is him. God himself brought himself to be low himself to be low. So that you could have a name that's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, everything under heaven and everything under earth has to bow. So that when you confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Let this mind be in you. Jesus had a certain time, a certain place, and a plan. This morning, I want to challenge you that as you go home, I want you to give Jesus your time, but have fun. I want you to read Matthew chapter 6. It lays out the rhythm of prayer. Next week, I'm going to be preaching on tabernacle prayer and the enjoyment of just the rhythm again. The prayer becomes almost like a real cool dance for Jesus. It's amazing just the access that he gives us, and it's always fresh. It's always new. So next week, we're gonna have a little bit of fun with Jesus as we dance in the rhythm of prayer. But this week, I want you to find the rhythm of prayer and change our mindset. It's not work. It's I get to hang out with my dad. I want you to define your time, define your place. I've given you the plan, the same plan that Jesus snuck away with and said, Dad, a storm starts with you. I'm going to declare your name. What are you thinking about today? You have the plan in Matthew chapter 6. But I want you to give him your best.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.